Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hey, good morning, everyone. And good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with a different voice in the seat today. And Lynette Morgan is on vacation. I'm Jerry Berg, and Dr. Mixon and I started on KVI about
98. Late 98, early 99, yeah.
Glad to be back. It hasn't been that long since we've been back.
That's right.
Been a while since I've been here, but only I was here in August. August, that was what it was. Anyway, and the lines are open for your calls. As usual, this is Leading Edge Medicine, live interactive talk radio, where you've been hearing in this time slot for years and years and years. And we want to start off today with some phone calls and take plenty of them at 1-888-312-5757. Get that right. 1-888-312-5757. And we've got a caller already on the line, Doctor.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Bring him up. Let's take a look.
Yeah, and then we'll come back and talk about COVID, monkeypox, and what's the other? Oh, polio. The polio that's kind of floating around a little bit in the conversation now. So right now, let's take that call. We'll go to Steve in Shoreline. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve. We're not hearing him.
Nope.
No.
Is this an engineering problem, or is Steve just
I don't know,
if on mute?
We're still connected
Hello?
To this.
There we go. There he is.
There he is.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent.
We are great. How can we help you out, sir?
Great. Well, Dr. Mixon, I'm scheduled to have shoulder surgery on my right shoulder in November. I've got a significant labral tear and a partial tear of the subscapularis tendon. Is that, am I saying that right?
You are indeed.
And, yeah. So I'd like to know from you, this is my third shoulder surgery, by the way.
Oh, dear. Right.
Yeah. So too much golf, too much weightlifting, too much partying, you know. So I'd like to know from you, sir, what can I do to accelerate the healing process after post-surgery? I know it's at least a four-month recuperation, but what can I do to advance that?
Well, depends in part on how bad your tears are and how complete they are.
The labral tear is from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, I can tell you what I did with mine. So
yes.
I didn't do the surgery. I had a fall. I got stupid. I was rebooting my phone while I was walking across the parking garage, and I tripped and fell on my right shoulder and side of my head. I had partial.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Young and dumb is supposed to have gone away with the young. We get old, we're supposed to get smarter.
No.
But
I'm forever young.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, I fell on the concrete, and I had partial tears of three of the ligaments in my right shoulder.
Yeah.
And so, but they weren't total separations. So I didn't need to have them sewn back together. I just had to promote healing. And so the first thing I did, of course, was I just used, relief factor to decrease my pain and discomfort for the first several weeks to let the inflammation and swelling go down. I went and saw Dan Nelson. He took stem cells out of my pelvis, out of my iliac, and injected stem cells and PRP into the shoulder around each of those torn ligaments.
Okay.
And let that heal for a while. And then in 6 weeks went back and injected just PRP without the stem cells. And then in the interim, I boosted my testosterone load. I normally carry free testosterone, that is the non-protein bound form of it. The normal range runs from 50, if you're an old man like me, up to 210 if you're an 18-year-old. Okay.
Right.
I kicked it all the way up to about 250 because testosterone is an anabolic hormone. It allows you to grow deep tissues. So ligaments, tendon, muscle, bone, all go into high gear as your testosterone load rises.
Okay. That's a lot of testosterone.
It is. It is.
You must have been getting into fights at the bars.
Nope. People misunderstand that. If you were a bar fighter when you were 20 and I raised your testosterone load to those levels, you might get aggressive again. But if you are a well-socialized human being in your 20s, you'll still be a well-socialized human being when I raise your testosterone back to those levels.
You just feel better.
You just feel better, yeah. Right. More drive, more ambition, more self-confidence, better stress tolerance. But most important for this purpose, better healing of deep tissues. Okay.
Right.
Estrogens heal skin. You know, if you got a guy who's having a surgery and you want him to have a pretty scar, then I have the doctor write a low dose estrogen cream to put on the wound, the surgical wound, and they'll heal up with almost no scar at all.
Wow.
Get beautiful healing of the scars. So estrogen helps skin heal well. Testosterone helps those ligaments and tendons and bones heal well. So I raise that way up. I also then used the anti-senescent cell therapy. Senescent cells inhibit the growth and production of healthy cells. So I use the desitatinib and quercetin regimen to knock down my senescent cells to disinhibit the healing of my healthy cells. And then I kicked in some intravenous exosomes taken from umbilical cells. Now, that combination.
Had you standing up before you just got off the table and walked out of the surgery?
Well, actually, I didn't have surgery.
Oh, okay.
But I am now. I started about a month ago. I let it all heal for 6 months, and then I started back on exercise. In the last month, I've gone from zero to doing 53 push-ups this morning.
Wow.
With no pain at all in my shoulder, and doing curls and overhead presses with 45 pounds in each hand with no pain at all in the shoulders and no surgery.
Okay.
No surgery.
Well, it looks like I need to have it. And of the things you mentioned, I can certainly afford Relief Factor. And Dr. Nelson has PRP'd me before. I can do that again.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm not currently a patient of
yours.
The stem cells are a bit expensive to me at this point. So
they are. They're about $4,500 a pop, but the desitatinib is treatment over the whole 6 month period is only about $250.
It's
desitatinib and quercetin, and that's basically a protocol that I swiped from the Mayo Clinic. In their research papers. And
find that.
Well, again, you have to have a doctor that's comfortable writing it. Our doctors do it, but I don't know who else is around here.
Okay.
But Mayo
Would
Clinic
Dr.
actually
Nelson
came
do
up
it
with
for
that.
Me?
I have no idea what Dan's comfortable doing or not. And I think he's in Ireland right now.
So. Oh, good for him. Maybe he's playing golf.
Maybe. I think he's he's visiting.
That's part of the protocol there.
That's right. But yeah. But do what you can do, and you know. Yeah. But if you can get somebody to do the anti-senescent therapy, that should be a big help too.
Okay, and PT of course. So
your physical training, obviously. Keep it moving.
Yeah. All right. Wish me luck. Thank you, doctor.
Okay. Good luck, sir. Take care. Bye bye.
So
bye bye.
Bye bye. Thanks for your call. We have. John and Susan on the line waiting right now. Just quickly about Dr. Nelson. So I received a diagnosis from a x-ray that I had a broken vertebrae, fractured vertebrae, which is like, wow. You know, when you hear that, it's like back surgery, you know? So I called Dr. Dan up and he said, first thing out of his mouth, I told him what it was. He says, I can fix that.
Yep.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I know him, you know, quite well. And actually we do another radio show together, but what a guy, but it made me feel so comfortable. Mm-hmm. I went over there and I was leaving town to a family reunion. So this needed to be fixed right away because I was having excruciating back pain. And, it was on a Monday and he fixed me. The pain went away immediately. And I went on my trip. I flew on Friday, 4 hours in the plane with a two-hour delay. Uh-huh. And then on the way back, a seven-hour delay sitting in the airport waiting and the flight with no pain the whole time. I took Tylenol and some other stuff he gave me. I never took the other stuff, and I never took any Tylenol either. But it's called pyroplasty? No. What is it?
Yeah, basically he knocked down some of the pain sensory nerves.
I don't know why the name is slipping me right now, but no, he went in and he drilled a hole in the vertebrae with a diamond thing that looks like a corkscrew.
All right.
Under sedation and also the fluoroscope thing so he can actually see exactly where he's going and what he's doing. Drill a hole into the fractured vertebrae. Then they put an expander in there, a balloon, and they blow it up to put it back where it's supposed to be in height. So the distance is right so it's not pinching the nerves. Uh-huh. And then they fill it up with super glue or putty or something. Uh-huh. Anyway. And then you're done. And it freezes that vertebrae in time right there where it's supposed to be. And he's checked that all out and it's repaired.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. It's like, I think people need to know about that because there are people running around, I'm told, that have collapsed vertebrae and fractures that can be fixed like this, that are they're enduring excruciating pain and bad medications. And it's life-threatening. It really shortens your life.
Yep.
Not mine.
It's easier to fix, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, I walked in and I walked out.
Yeah, Dan's a miracle worker. He really is. He's my favorite pain guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's in my speed dial.
All right.
Anyway, time to take a break. We're going to come back to Ray in Seattle. John, Ray's got a question on natural immunity. I want to know about that because I had COVID and without a vaccination and survived. Anyway, Susan also, so stay right where you are. We're going to come right back right here on KVI. Radio 570, Talk Radio 570. We're going to be back, and we've got room for one more call right now at 1-888-312-5757. Stick around.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall. But it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love.
And we're back with more of Leading Edge Medicine. Tommy Edwards, what a great singer, and passed away very young. Not sure why, but anyway, we'll be taking some more phone calls in just a second here on Leading Edge Medicine. And it looks like we have all four lines, well, almost all four lines full. I guess we have one more to go at 1-888-312-5757. A quick question from one of our listeners, didn't want to go on the air, asking about shingles and vision loss. Are those connected, or can they be?
Can't imagine how. I mean, you can get shingles in the facial nerves around the eye that would cause a lot of pain and swelling.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware of the actual ocular nerve being involved.
Nope. This is one of those we need to take on the air.
Yeah, well, this is one we need to have Dr. Gilbert call about, but I don't think he's available this weekend either. So
yeah. Anyway,
we'll talk about it.
Thought I'd bring it up because we don't really know enough about that to have that conversation and whether come up with an answer. But anyway, so let's grab a call. We're going to go to Seattle now with a natural immunity question from Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Jerry Bird. You know, on the other station, I called in, and I got put on hold, and there was just no sound at all. So I hung up, and I called back in again, and I told Brady about that, or Brady.
Brady.
Same thing happened, and since I was like the fifth one in the line, I didn't want to not hear the deal, but I thought I'd just let you know. Typically, I've called in a lot of times, and you know, I was waiting now. I can hear you guys talking while I'm in the queue.
That other station has changed their equipment in the control room. They've got new stuff that's purportedly newer and fancier and better, but I'm not sure anybody over there knows how to use it yet. So
Well,
we're having all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, that can be a problem. So
Well, I do know there was times that I was listening to a whole bunch of commercials for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, like the start of the show a few weeks ago.
Oh dear. Yeah. Well, that's
Remember?
Because we thought we were on the air. We were talking and going and we weren't on the air at all. It was really frustrating. That happened to us two weeks in a row.
Right. So, I remember. Hey, you know, we talked about all these people calling about COVID and stuff. So I was just wondering if you could give me your take on, vitamin D, vitamin A, because there's a, you know, doctor, right? Who he is.
Yep.
There's a study. It's a real old study in the 40s where they give people 150,000 units of vitamin A and 15,000 units of vitamin D, and they call it the AD bomb, and it for 3 days, and it just really improves the function against the virus. I wanted to hear about that, what you thought about that, and then also the quercetin and the zinc, taking those as to help build your natural immunity.
Okay. Well, first of all, I hesitate to use that much vitamin A all in a short period of time because vitamin A can be toxic to the liver. So, you know, I'd want to know what their vitamin A levels were to start with and monitor the levels a bit. You hate to whack somebody's liver with too much vitamin A. The other thing, of course, is, yes, they were helping people's response to viruses, but clearly not to COVID per se, because COVID is a novel virus. It hasn't been in human beings before a couple of years ago. It was, you know, just recognized in
rat caves.
Yeah. Well, even there wasn't the exact same one.
My question is it's just general building up of your immunity system.
What we've got.
How does vitamin A and vitamin E and quercetin and zinc work with the
and vitamin D too? Okay, right. All of these vitamins in general, vitamin E, vitamin D, vitamin A are all involved in our immune response. So people that are low in any of those vitamins have increased susceptibility to most viral and many bacterial infections. So keeping yourself in robust levels of all of those help. Zinc seems to be especially good at helping with respiratory viruses, which of course would include probably resistance to the COVID, since it is primarily a respiratory virus. We've got studies that show that people who have high vitamin D levels before infection do much better than people that start off with low vitamin D and then catch COVID. On the other hand, we have tried giving vitamin D to people that are infected with COVID, and it doesn't seem to help them recover. So robust vitamin D levels are protective in advance, but don't seem to be efficacious for therapy. There's a difference. Okay.
Right.
See, what else was your question? I'm trying to recall.
Quercetin and zinc.
Oh, quercetin. Yeah.
Well, you talked about zinc. I've heard you talk about zinc lodges.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But and quercetin is out there, and apparently there's this Dr. Zelensky who treated a lot of people over in New York. He's a Hasidic Jew. He just passed away, but he came up because the people there would he treated a bunch of people. I think 8,000 elderly people, and now maybe only one of them died during the first COVID phase, and the governor of that state in New York shut him down because he was giving them hydrochloroquine. And yeah. He came up did some research and came up with this, you know, vitamin D, vitamin A, quercetin, and zinc as a protocol to help fight the COVID virus.
Yeah, well, quercetin is a very potent anti-inflammatory. It's also a polyphenol that is beneficial in boosting immune responses. So, you know, that's true of many of the polyphenols. Quercetin, the whole mix of things found in black and green teas seem to be quite useful for that. You know, all of the compounds seen in the deeply pigmented fruits and vegetables and bell peppers and so on seem to be useful. The problem is we don't have good peer-reviewed studies showing that they are specifically helpful with COVID. It doesn't mean they don't help. It means we don't have peer-reviewed studies showing that they do help. You know, the absence of formal proof isn't proof they don't work. It just says we haven't done the studies.
Oh, exactly, because look at what they're doing with these new booster shots, you know, 216 people, and they're trying to shove them down our throats.
Yes, agreed. And, you know, I'm not taking mine as yet. I'm waiting. If there is a big resurgence of COVID, and if people in my age group that are lean and otherwise fit are getting really sick from it, I might go take the booster shot. But as for right now, you know, I have a low body fat, a good muscle mass. I'm physically active. Last time I caught COVID, which I did in April, my total symptoms were 3 days of a runny nose. That was my COVID. So I'm not terribly worried about it at this point.
Right. So what's the major variant out there? I have a friend who was traveling to Montana, and he's our age, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s. And he's got a lot of osteoarthritis, and he's on all kinds of drugs and ileostomy and stuff. And he got it. He's taking that stuff that they gave the president. And he says he seems to think that it's helping him.
The Remdesivir.
I don't know how you say
Remdesivir,
it.
Remdesivir, yeah.
He's got the BA5 version. And is there any studies out there telling us what is the predominant version now out there?
No. I mean, last I saw was the 2.2 or the 2.5. And we won't know till the next surge comes what the predominant one is. Right now, you know, COVID is waning. There's very little COVID out there compared to where we were during our big surges. So the last variant that went around was pretty darn mild for most people, and infections are dramatically down.
Right.
So it's only about 45,000 people per day nationwide, and that's not a lot out of 320 million people. So,
wow.
You know, a tiny, tiny fraction of the population is sick on any given day right now. So I'm just kind of waiting to see, Is there going to be another surge? Is it going to be a mild surge like the last one, in which relatively few people are hospitalized or die? Or is it going to be a nastier one that has suddenly hit us like the Delta variant again? Don't know.
Right.
Have to wait and see.
Yeah. All right. So with, back to the vitamin D, would you would say you're saying the optimal level? What would be the optimal level?
I try to keep our patients between about 60 and 90 is our range for the 25 hydroxy vitamin D. So 60 to 90. Yeah, in that range. Okay. If you get over about 115 or so, you can start getting some toxicity issues. So 60 to 90 seems to be a very safe place.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but to get mine up to 70, I have to take a big dose of vitamin D.
Yep. Some people do.
I mean, I just have to, I take stomach acid too, because as you say, everything slows down. And since I started taking stomach acid, I hardly ever have any that acid reflux problem that I had for years.
Yep.
But okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And thanks a lot for that call. That leaves another line open at 1-888-312-5757. We are going to take a break right now, Doctor, and come
Sounds
back
good.
To our callers. We have John, who dropped off and came back, and Susan in Kirkland also with a question. So you two guys, stick around. You're going to be first up when we come back with more of Leading Edge Medicine. Go to lmclinic.com. Won't you do that? And check out the free health analysis appointment. You can find out what it's about, all about it, and how you can sign up for one right there on the internet, lmclinic.com. And then give us a call back and let us know how easy it was. We want to talk to you, okay? We'll be right back with more.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guy was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program, and he came out about the third inning and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour in your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
As Clyde McFetter.
Yeah, but
I hate to talk over vocals, because when I started in radio, you would be murdered outside the studio if you did that. It's okay to talk over the beginning of the music, the intro, but you can't talk over the vocals.
I see. Well, see, and I always talk over this vocal.
Well, we have to
this particular song.
This is talk radio.
Well, and this particular song.
Oh, yeah.
I always say, guy, if you have to worry when she's not with you, you got the wrong chick to start with. So,
yeah,
just move on.
That's true. Or you have no self-confidence in yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, which is what you, that's a double whatever. Self-confidence in yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, let's get on with the phone calls and figure out where I was here and where I am right now. And we're back. I believe it's John, who's on the line and ready to go. John?
Hello, John.
Hello, and I called me and laughing so much I nearly forgot what I was going to talk to you about. You had an elderly lady on the last hour, and I want to tell you, as a statistic of one, I'm a retired airline pilot, and I had a gallstone attack, so the FAA gave me no choice. I had to have my gallbladder removed, and I've just habitually been on it. That just doesn't appeal to me. I've never had any problem at all with my gallbladder, taking as many, at least three relief factors per day. And I probably even had four sometimes. So I don't know if it's because of the low fat diet where my gallbladder would kick in if I ate fat, but I just don't eat that.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll try and see if I can make things even better by using ox bile.
Uh-huh.
With the meal. And that was like having an ulcer attack.
Oh, dear.
And I took that, and I thought, oh, nuts. So I guess that pretty much answers whether I should have ox bile or not. So as a statistic of one, I vote for nothing and just keep on a low-fat diet.
Well, you know, this lady is in her 80s, if I recall properly. Yeah. She's called several times. And she has a litany of issues. And, you know, she tends to be one of these fragile sort of folks. The things really bother. And my impression is her gallbladder surgery was relatively recent. So what usually happens is people will get the majority of their side effects from fats in the first few weeks or months after the surgery. And over time, most people will adjust and their gut will adjust and they don't get problems. Certainly not with, you know, with a few packets of something like Relief Factor, because, you know, yes, it is a concentrated omega-3s, but there's not really a lot of free fat there. But this was a lady that's getting reflux and abdominal cramps and pains and diarrhea. And just that little bit of extra fat in the Relief Factor was enough to kick her over, in which case okay. She shouldn't take it, you know. And she would probably do fine with the bile salts. But one of the unfortunate things I have found in my 40-some years in medicine, people who have side effects have side effects.
Yeah.
And there are people who seem to have side effects to everything you do.
Yeah.
It's just, you're sitting there writing a prescription for someone to say, okay, this is the standard treatment. And I just know this person's going to hate it because they're going to have side effects.
One thing that John has in his favor with his job description he just gave us is that he's no more than 6 feet from a bathroom hours at a time.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's right. Of course, these days, we used to call them stewardess. What do we call them? Flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
Now the flight attendant has to stand guard when he goes in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being there for me. You've been a great help.
You're welcome, sir. Yeah. You know, I miss the old days of flying when I was a young soldier, you know, 18, 19 years old. And the flight attendants in those days, the stewardesses, we used to call them, were all 18 to 20 years old, and they had to be single. They couldn't be married.
Yeah.
You know? And so young soldiers in their late teens and early 20s, we would hit on those flight attendants, and we'd score really often. It was it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Now half of them are grandmas. So it's a whole different world.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care, sir.
Thanks for being there. Thank you for being there for us, John. Appreciate it. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, sir.
And let's grab another call. Let's see. We can do that right now. Lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. I don't know where I'm getting that 9, but 1-888-312-5757. It's been the same phone number
for decades. That's right.
Decades. Yeah. But I never call a talk radio show.
That's true.
Well, almost never. But I have. But I get nervous.
You get
Can
nervous.
You imagine that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's, you know, and I have fun when I do it. So.
All right.
But anyway, let's go to Kirkland now, and Susan is waiting for us. Thank you for waiting, Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hello. I'm interested in possible treatment options for basal artery insufficiency.
Ooh. Okay. All right, let's start by educating the listeners. This is not one that you've got two big arteries on the sides of your neck called the carotid arteries, and they branch and do the internal and external carotid arteries. So there's four big arteries that come up, two on either side of your head, that go to your brain to provide blood supply to your brain. Then you've got the basilar arteries. These are the arteries that come up from the back of your head, alongside your spinal column. Okay. The basilar arteries are a little smaller than the big carotids, and they're more prone to getting crimped because your head turns forward and backward. And if you've got a lot of arthritis or something back there, you can actually start crimping those arteries and shutting down the blood supply to part of your brain.
Wow.
Okay. Also, those arteries, like every other artery in your body, are prone to forming plaque, just like, you know, from either high cholesterol or inflamed cholesterol. Diabetics have a lot of problem with basilar artery disease. So if you're someone that has high risk of heart disease or high risk of peripheral artery disease, you're also high risk for the basilar arteries going bad. And, you know, the most common complaint we get with basilar artery disease is positional obstruction. They'll turn their head or look up, and all of a sudden the blood supply to their brain is shut down, and either their vision will go gray and out on them, or they get dizzy and have trouble keeping their balance. So now that we've kind of set the stage so people have some vague idea what we're talking about, ma'am, tell me about your basilar artery disease. What symptoms are you having? How was it discovered? What has your vascular guy said to you?
Okay, well, I was having a lot of dizziness, balance problems, unsteady on my feet. When I walk, if I have a trekking stick, I'm pretty stable, but without it, I just kind of meander all over the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Brain fog and memory loss. And I was wondering if it was ear crystals, so I went to the wrong ENT guy. And he had a shadow that with him that day, and he was more interested in talking with her than in talking with me. So he just handed me a prescription and said, see a neurologist for possible basal insufficiency. He didn't even put artery in there. So
all right.
I'm wondering what the options might be, because what I hear is neurologists will run all kind of expensive tests, give you a diagnosis, and say either there's nothing we can do for it or surgery and medication for the rest of your life.
Well, surgery and medication are high on the list of interventions, that's for sure. And it depends on how bad the disease is. But, you know, I'm not sure a neurologist, I think I'd be looking more for a vascular person. Somebody that is expert in blood vessels per se. Although the neurologist, I'm sure he sees a fair bit of this too. So what you're really going to need is a workup to find out what's going on there. You know, how narrow are the vessels? And as long as they're looking there, they probably should be taking a look at your carotids too. Just because if you've got some blood vessels to your head going bad, you want to look at all the blood vessels to your head. I don't want to miss something. The worry, of course, is you may have something shut off the blood supply enough that you stroke. And basilar strokes can be really, really nasty strokes. They can be strokes that either kill or permanently disable you. So you really want to avoid them if you can. So get into either that neurologist or a vascular surgeon for a good workup. And you're probably going to want to do everything you can to decrease your risk of stroke. And they're probably going to put you on a blood thinner. They're probably going to put you on a program to lower your cholesterol. They're probably going to put you on vascular muscle relaxers to open up your blood vessels to as much as they can to improve your blood supply.
Say that last one again, vascular
dilators. Dilators. Things like PDE5 inhibitors. Interestingly, things like Viagra, Levitra, Tadalafil, these are usually used for men with erectile disorders. But they open up all the blood vessels in your body, and the Viagra is especially good at opening up blood vessels in your head. in your brain. So, you know, things to improve the blood flow and to decrease risk of clotting. Those are the major directions are going to go. And if things are too dangerous, if you've got a 90% narrowing or something, then you may be a surgical candidate. But short of that, they usually start with medications and see what we can do to open up your vessels.
Okay. Well, all the right. vascular clinic is in the same office as Dr. Maiden,
yep.
who's already my cardiologist, so I'll just ask for an appointment with the vascular people.
Sounds good to me, ma'am.
Got a good one.
All right.
Excellent.
And if he works with Dr. Maiden, I already have confidence in him because Reuben Maiden's my favorite cardiologist. Yeah. So,
thank you very much
thank
for,
you
your
for
call.
The call. Bye-bye. Yeah.
So, Viagra can also make a man's brain work.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be that's a real plus.
Well, it is. interestingly, the PDE5 inhibitors, I almost think we should put them in the water supply.
Yeah.
Because they improve blood flow in the brain. And of the three, Viagra works best in the head.
Yeah.
The other two work okay in the head, but not as good as Viagra. The fact, though, that Viagra gives people the biggest headaches, and that's because it dilates the blood vessels in the brain.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get side effects, if you're somebody that takes Viagra and gets a migraine headache from it, it's because it over-dilated the blood vessels in your head.
Yeah.
So the other ones might be better for that person.
I have no idea, but that wouldn't be a good side effect.
Nope. Nope.
So that would make you say, sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I have a headache. That's right. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, Viagra is
the
oldest.
Was this designed by a woman?
No, it was designed for women.
Okay.
The Viagra is the shortest acting of the three. It only works about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so you have to take it several times a day.
Yeah.
But it's the most effective for those blood vessels. Levitra has the fewest side effects, but that also means it's the least effective in your brain. And the tadalafil is in between. It's the longest acting, and it's kind of in between the other two for improving blood flow in the brain. But those drugs also decrease the risk of prostate cancer.
Ooh.
Tadalafil cuts men who take tadalafil for erectile disorders cut their risk of prostate cancer in half.
Gee whiz.
Okay.
Yeah.
They also slow the risk of spread from head and neck cancers,
yeah.
which is one you have a great interest in.
Right.
And for breast cancers. So they're pretty decent anti-cancer drugs. They help dilate blood vessels. They help brain function. They're good all the way around. And they improve men's urination. And a fair number of women are actually finding that they're getting improved sexual response with them, too.
Wow.
So I'm starting to use these in men and women for a lot more than just ED.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. And there's lots of drugs that are kind of like that if you do the research or mm-hmm. you check on them. And
that, of course, is what I do
yeah.
for a living. Yeah. So I don't see patients. I just do the research for the other doctors.
We're going to do a little research on a commercial. Let's take a break right now and come back. And we have Carol, Charlie, and David on the line, patiently waiting in our waiting room with their ear up to the wall to the exam room until they get called in. So we're going to do that break right now and come back. 1-888-312-5757 is our phone number. More of Leading Edge Medicine with me, Jerry Berg, and Dr. Jerry Mixon in just 1 minute. I think we're back.
We are back.
Yeah. I'm listening to the close to the show music. And I think that's
I think that's why he said sorry in our headphones.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, too, but things happen, and that's okay. Right. This is live radio. So let's just go right back to the phone calls as fast as we can. We have four of them in line, and Carol's up first. So let's go to Carol in Seattle.
Hello, Carol.
Hello. I have a question for a friend.
Okay.
Are there any natural remedies for PMR?
What's PMR?
Yeah, PMR. I know PMS.
Well, I was hoping you would know.
But all right.
I believe it's pronounced polymyalgia rheumatica.
Polymyalgia rheumatica. All right.
Okay.
Okay. No. Cures? No. There's polymyalgia rheumatica is classed among the rheumatoid diseases. These people have diffuse joint pains. We generally treat it with a combination of the mildest things we possibly can. You get a systemic effect, this kind of a flu-like syndrome, total body aches, fatigue, tired. You get widespread aching and stiffness in all of your joints. Interestingly, it's about 2.5 times more common in women than it is in men. And Caucasians are most susceptible to it, which is...
Uh-huh.
Kind of sad being Caucasian myself, but at least I'm not a woman, so I'm not as much of a risk. Most of the people who get this are older, over 60. It's rare under about 50, which is again kind of odd, and it tells us that it's one of these things that's really interfering with your life. Okay. We don't know for sure what triggers it. There seems to be some sort of family association. It doesn't follow a true genetic pattern, but it does seem to cluster in families. And it seems to be kind of seasonal. There's probably an environmental trigger, a virus or something that kind of kicks it into gear, but we don't really know. We have not identified a particular virus that's related to it, but it seems to hit people most commonly in the spring and fall, in those times when the weathers are either changing, getting colder and rainy, or getting rainy and gloomy in the spring, getting ready for the summer. What else is there about it? Yeah. I'm trying to think what else, I can tell you. You're basically treating it just with the same stuff we do all of the poorly identified rheumatoid kind of classes, diseases. Anti-inflammatories are frequently of some use. Mild cases, again, I can always start them with something over-the-counter like the relief factor. That's supplements. It's got four things in it to decrease inflammation. And some people with polymyalgia get better. It's called polymyalgia because it's more than one muscle. It's muscles all over your body get painful and flare up. So, stay as active as you comfortably can. Lots and lots of polyphenols in your diet. People with this sort of thing, I tell them to go for the deeply pigmented things. Pomegranate is very rich in polyphenols. And if you don't like to eat pomegranate because of the big seeds, you can buy pomegranate juice at the grocery store. So pomegranates, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, bell peppers, deep green veggies of almost all kinds. All of these are very rich in polyphenols that tend to decrease inflammation from every cause. Beyond that,
okay,
we start moving towards the medications.
Yeah, he's been
his pain has been controlled with a steroid, but they're transitioning him onto methotrexate.
Methotrexate, yes.
Yeah, pretty severe breakthrough pain, you know, like 8 out of 10. And yeah. So he has to periodically go back on the steroids. He's just 62, and he's always been really active. But this, you know, just as you described, it just taking everything out of him, the fatigue and the pain and so on. So I'm disappointed to hear that there isn't some better natural treatment, but I will pass this information along.
Yep, we do what we can do. And, you know, the more he does with the food groups and the supplements, he may find that he needs lower doses of the medication. Because the steroids, you don't want to use any more than you have to. They are wonderful, terrible drugs. You know, they yes. decrease inflammation dramatically. They can be lifesavers. But they lower your risk to infections. They shift your metabolism towards fat. They make your muscles weak. They help trigger cataracts. You know, they thin out your skin and they cause osteoporosis. You don't want to use steroids any more than you really have to, but boy, when you have to, you have to.
Yes.
So. All right,
okay.
Ma'am.
Well,
thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yep, and we're going to take a quick break at the top of the hour, turn around and come back. We have Charlie, David, and Mark on the lines. We're going to get to you in that order when we return, so please stick around for that. In the meantime, go to lmclinic.com and check out the free health analysis appointment list. Sign up for one near you in Tacoma, Kirkland, or in Linwood, and pick the day and the time you want to go and get that free test. We'll talk more about that. If you want to find out, give us a call. We want to talk about it with you and why you should do it, okay? We'll be right back with more of Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. I'm Jerry Bird. We'll see you.